Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Glad you're with us today as we continue in our study on marriage. This, of course, session 3, and we hope you're enjoying and benefiting from the study. So let's get underway with this week's edition of The Grace Guide to Marriage. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. In the last two lessons, we've uncovered the four guiding truths as far as marriage is concerned. We see them right at the beginning of the Word of God in Genesis chapter 2. It says there in verse 23, "Then the man said, 'This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.'" So we see three of the guiding truths right there, that the man is to leave his mother and father, the parents of the bride are to give her away, and so they're going to form a new unit, a new entity in this world. And they're to cleave to one another, hold fast to one another. They're to be joined to one another and stay that way for the remainder of their lives. So they're not to divorce, they're not to separate, they're to cleave to one another. And then they're to become one flesh. So the two are to become one. Jesus repeated that when he was asked about divorce. He went back to the beginning and said, this is what marriage is from the very get-go. This is the grand design of it. This is how God has outlined it for us. And so we need to realize exactly what marriage is. So leave, cleave, become one flesh. And then the fourth guiding truth is to serve one another in love. This relationship called marriage is unique among all relationships. There's nothing like it. There's nothing to compare to it. That's when a spouse dies. You know, children want to kind of come around and support the widowed survivor, and you know, they just can't fill the shoes of the one that left. Sure. Why? Because they can't be one with their parent, nor can friends, nor can anyone else. So this is a unique relationship, very unique, and we have an opportunity to uniquely love that one person that we're one with in marriage, to serve that one person in love. So those are the four guiding truths. And today we really want to take a look at that fourth one, serving one another in love. And we have a chart that we're going to be working through today. It's available at basicgospel.net/teaching. You can download this. It's a PDF. And I think it's something that you will want to have. It can be a reminder, you know, if something is kind of out of whack in your marriage relationship, you can pull this out and kind of look through it and say, oh, I see what's going on now. So this is a very important PDF, and we want you to have it. So go to basicgospel.net/teaching and download it. And we're going to be working through it today. So I think it's going to be extremely helpful. Now, this particular chart, and I think, Richard, you do the same thing. Whenever I meet with a couple, whether it's a couple that have been married for years and years and years, and they're going through some marital difficulties, or if it's a couple contemplating marriage, the very first thing I do is I'll grab a yellow legal pad or a white pad or whatever it might be, and I'll draw three circles on that pad, and then I will connect those circles in a way. And as I'm working through that, I get a lot of aha moments. I get a lot of light starting to turn on, and people starting to understand the importance of Jesus Christ for every single marriage relationship. Now, we add the three, and then we add three more. So those three circles represent an individual person. And the three circles represent the spirit, the soul, and the body. Yes. Every single human being is a trinity. just like God himself. God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. We as human beings, we have a spiritual component, we have a soulish component, and that's our mind, emotions, and will, and then we have the bodily component. And on each level, we have particular needs, and it's important for us to understand that. So we have spiritual needs, and what are those spiritual needs? It's the need for unconditional love and acceptance and for ultimate meaning and purpose in life.
Yeah.
Those are the needs that we have spiritually. Now, we have to recognize that those needs can only be met by a spiritual being, by Jesus Christ himself. I can't have those needs met out there in the world. So if I enter into marriage hoping that Gina will meet my needs for unconditional love and acceptance, I've put her in bondage and I've put myself in bondage. When she fails to do what I am depending upon her to do, then she is, I'm going to be disappointed with her. I'm going to be fearful that those needs will never be met. I'm going to start getting angry with her. I'm going to become just down and depressed and all of these things because Gina can't do what she was not equipped to do. So we have to realize if I'm going to be loved unconditionally, I have to look to the one who has a wealth of unconditional love within him, and that's Jesus Christ himself. If I'm going to be accepted unconditionally, then I need to look to the one who has a wealth of unconditional acceptance in him, and that's Jesus Christ. And if I'm going to know what my ultimate meaning and purpose is in life, I have to go to the one who made me.
Yeah.
From the beginning, and that's Jesus Christ himself. So when we learn that we have to be in union with Jesus, we need to be connected to Jesus, made alive with Jesus Christ, and live our lives in dependence upon him, then we're free to serve one another in love. We're free to carry out this fourth guiding truth as far as marriage is concerned.
Well, this is Session 3 of the Basic Gospel Series, The Grace Guide to Marriage, with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and we're really glad that you're with us today, friends. You know, our purpose at Basic Gospel is to get this good news out to as many people as possible by every means available. And if you want to share in the blessing of doing that, we would love for you to partner with us. Remember, your gifts do make a difference. Join with us, friends. Please click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Let's keep the good news coming. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. Canadian listeners, please donate at basicgospel.net/Canada.
Well, thanks, Bob. Well, let's jump right in, and we're going to go to the chart, the Grace Guide to Marriage, and this diagram, and I think this diagram is so vitally important. Now, you know, we can't reduce our lives to three circles on a page. these are just used for illustration purposes to really magnify what this truth of serving one another in love is all about.
But it is one of those things that you can try it at home, right?
Yes, you can.
Yes,
you can. So at the top of the chart is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the center of every Christian marriage. So when two people come together to become one through marriage, then it's two believers, and that's what we're talking about. That's
yes.
Who we're talking to today. Two believers that are coming together to be joined together as one. So both individually were saved. They were saved by grace through faith. At one time, they were dead in their trespasses and sins. They were following the ways of this world. They were living to gratify the desires of the flesh. That's what spiritual death looks like. That's what lostness is all about. But at a point in time, they received Christ. And when they received Christ, Jesus Christ came to live inside of them. So the first thing that we see on this diagram is that the first circle is representing the spiritual component of man. We see that a union has taken place there.
Yes.
We see that there's a union of God's spirit with our human spirits. Okay? And in that union, we're going to experience the unconditional love and unconditional acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're living individually in dependence upon Him. Mm-hmm. So the best thing that you can do in your marriage is to encourage your spouse to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to understand who they are in Jesus Christ, and to understand who Christ is in them. That's going to be the greatest thing you will ever do for your marriage. I guarantee it. We've all experienced that, mm-hmm. and I guarantee you, if you will focus on the Lord Jesus and your relationship with Him, all the pieces of this marriage that you're in will start coming together in a way that it's designed to do as far as God is concerned, and in a way that's going to make marriage more meaningful to you, more rewarding to you, and just better than anything that you can imagine. So it's two people who have come to Christ, who are in spiritual union with Christ, who are living in dependence upon Jesus Christ. Now, Richard, what happens if somebody doesn't live in dependence upon Jesus for those spiritual needs of unconditional love and acceptance? Yep. Who's the most likely candidate for them to turn to try to get those needs met?
Oh, they try to find some other person. If they're already married, they're trying to grab this kind of stuff from their husband or wife. If they're not married, they're trying to find someone who will give them all of that unconditional love and acceptance. And it's really, really a negative situation, because neither of the two people can, as you said, can provide that love and acceptance. And so what we end up doing is draining each other dry. And my wife or my girlfriend can't meet my needs, I can't meet hers, and so we doubt each other, we start looking around for other people to do it. It just spirals down into oblivion in a big hurry. If you don't have this, in some ways, and I've actually said this to a couple of the couples I worked with, that if you don't know Jesus, you have no business talking about marriage. And that's kind of stark,
yes,
but it's true.
Yes.
If you don't know Jesus, or if you claim to know Jesus and you're taking a legalistic approach to your intended, then you're in trouble. Because this unconditional love and acceptance is fundamentally a grace-oriented thing, a by grace, through faith, beginning.
Yes.
If you don't have that by grace, through faith, beginning, you don't have anything yet.
No, because you're forced, instead of serving your mate in love, mm-hmm. you're forced to try to get something out of her or him
yes.
that they just don't have to give.
Yeah, they don't.
So instead of serving, you become demanding of them. You know, you're here to make me happy. You're here to love me unconditionally. You're here to accept me unconditionally. You're here to give my life some meaning and purpose. And so instead of giving, we're taking.
Yes.
And in a marriage, it never works. If you're in a taking posture, your marriage is going to struggle. You're eventually going to get to a point and say, I can't take this anymore. And instead of looking to your mate, you'll start looking somewhere else to get someone else to try to make you happy.
Yeah, this is an example of what happens in Ephesians 5, for example, when it talks about submitting to one another. If you don't understand who Jesus is and what he provides for you, Ephesians 5 becomes a battleground rather than a coming together of equals.
That's
in
right.
Christ.
That's exactly right.
It's a terrible thing.
It is a terrible thing. And it's, you know, if you want to know why divorce rates are skyrocketing, why, you know, the problems of marriage are epidemic in our society today.
Including the church.
Including the church. I think it gets right down to this very chart. Now, I've used this time and time again, and I've seen the evangelistic edge that this chart has.
Yeah.
Many times I have actually been able to lead somebody to Christ in just working through this chart. They're saying, wow, I didn't know that Jesus was the only place I could find unconditional love and acceptance. Yeah. And it just opens their eyes and they say, I want that. And so they receive Christ. Now, what does that do? It liberates them. It frees them from having to depend on someone else. And it's interesting, Richard, we got a question, and we've encouraged our listeners, if they have a question about marriage that they want addressed on this teaching edition, they can send those in to bob@basicgospel.net. But we got this question from Jennifer, and Jennifer writes this: how does a wife keep from placing her husband at the top of her misplaced dependencies list? I understand depending on a husband to provide unconditional love and acceptance spawns unrealistic expectations and results in hurts and disappointments, but it seems natural to do so, especially since the two are supposed to operate as one unit. So after this break, we're going to get to this question, and we're going to show how this chart really can answer that.
Another great and insightful study with Bob and Richard, The Grace Guide to Marriage. And friends, if you want a review of these sessions, you'll find the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. Now, each week's session will be there, and we urge you to share them with your family and your friends. Again, that's at basicgospel.net/teaching.
Well, thanks, Bob. So Jennifer's question: how does a wife keep from placing her husband at the top of her misplaced dependencies list? And I think if we go right back to the chart, we have to say, well, we're supposed to be dependent upon Jesus.
Yes.
So if you have misplaced dependencies on your husband, what's the answer to that? Well, move those misplaced dependencies away from your husband and back onto Jesus. It's a simple answer, but it's profound in its impact. So how do you know that you have misplaced dependencies upon your husband? I think you're going to be irritable. I think you're going to have a sense of fear deep within you. I think there's going to be an anger towards your husband. I think you will start trying to control him. And the reverse is true.
Absolutely.
A husband toward a wife, if he has a misplaced dependency on her, then he's going to be fearful and angry with her, and then he will start trying to control her. Why? To get her to do what he needs her to do so that he can be happy. So how do you know? It's when you start trying to control that mate of yours to produce a certain result or outcome, and you're disappointed with that. You're living just on the edge of fear and exploding anger. You know you have a misplaced dependency. What's the solution? Recognize that you have a misplaced dependency and say, Lord, I need to get my eyes back on you.
Yes.
And I need to walk in dependence upon you. Because you are the only one that can meet my spiritual needs of unconditional love and acceptance. You're the only one that can give me real meaning and purpose in this life. And so as you start shifting your eyes back to Jesus, you're going to see a liberation of your soul. What from? Those emotions of fear and anger and disappointment. And you'll start to see your hand starting to lose grip on trying to control your mate, that you can just let God work in them as God is working in you. That's the freedom of two Christians coming together, two Christians willingly choosing to walk in dependence upon Jesus Christ as their very life.
Yeah, another way of saying this is if your identity is not derived solely 100% from Jesus, then you have nothing to offer anyone else, and you can't even accept stuff from other people because you're so clingy to find an identity. Yeah. And so doing this, getting your identity taken care of in Christ and understanding how much he loves you and accepts you, forgiveness, grace, eternal life, all of the things we talk about here in the gospel and the new covenant are especially valuable to a marriage situation or even a dating situation. You have this conversation long before you say I do,
yeah.
Hopefully.
Yes.
If you haven't, great. We'll have you have that conversation anytime you'd like. But this is vitally important. I mean, everything else in marriage depends on what we're talking about here.
Yes, indeed. That's why the scripture is so very clear when Paul writes, don't be unequally yoked. Mm-hmm. Now, that has, you know, a broader context than just marriage.
Yes.
But it's certainly applicable in marriage. I mean, what kind of fellowship do you have with someone who is lost? And what kind of relationship can you really have if they don't know Jesus and you do?
Yeah.
It's going to bring problems. You're going to start instead of at ground zero. I mean, marriage is difficult. Marriage is a very hard relationship. It takes the love of God to move us through those difficult patches that we have one with another. So starting at ground zero is a good place to start. But if you come into the relationship and you as a believer are choosing to marry someone that is not a believer, you're not starting at ground zero. You're starting way below that mark. Mm-hmm. So it would be very good to heed the truth of that passage. Don't be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. I mean, if you're dating out there right now, you're listening, and you're dating an unbeliever, heed the words of Jesus. Don't be married to somebody that you're unequally yoked with, that is not a believer in Christ Jesus.
And please don't say, but I love her.
Yeah.
I love him. What you're really saying.
You just don't know how I feel.
Yeah, what you're really saying is I lust him or I lust her.
Yes.
It's a very different thing. We'll
very
get to
different.
That later.
Yeah.
But at this level, if I can say I love you, this is the kind, love one another as I have loved you. That's what Jesus said. That's agape love.
Yes.
I have none of that in me apart from Jesus.
Right. And if you're saying, you know, I love him, you just don't know how I feel, what you're really communicating is that my only means of happiness in this life is to be married to this person. You know, he may be the only one that comes my way, or she may be the only one that comes
the
my
only
way.
One that'll have me.
And if I don't jump on this opportunity, then I will never be happy. I'll just be lonely for the rest of my life. Well, what is that saying? That you're already developing a misplaced dependency on this person.
Yeah.
You're already looking to that person to fulfill needs in your life that can only be fulfilled by Christ Jesus himself. So it also means that you're not content as a human being.
Yes.
That you are trying to find some contentment out there in the world. Look back to Jesus. There is only one person that you can find true contentment in, and that is Jesus Christ himself. And when you find your contentment there, then you are free to experience marriage to its fullest extent, mm-hmm. to God's grand design in loving that other human being just as God in Christ has loved you.
Well, friends, we're glad you've joined us for today's session of the Grace Guide to Marriage. If you have a question about anything you've heard on today's broadcast or any of the previous sessions, well, if there's something specific you'd like us to cover, as a matter of fact, just drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net or leave a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Please remember that we need your help to keep this new covenant message on the air and to take it to others who need to know of the love, grace, and life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Click donate if you can when you visit basicgospel.net or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. In Canada, of course, go to basicgospel.net/Canada. Otherwise, cross-border, you can donate through PayPal. And once again, today, tonight, or over the weekend, if you have a question about anything you've heard or want to hear on Basic Gospel, well, just give us a call at that same number, 844-322-2742. It's available to you 24 hours a day, and we'll be glad to address your question on a coming edition of Basic Gospel. Well, now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, and I hope you'll be with us again on Monday for another great, great session at Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.